ESPN 97.5 KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gao Media station,
which can cause cramping and diarrhea.
All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, it's a Thursday on The Usual Suspects. Everybody present and accounted for as we are here at the Gal Media Studios. We'll be here for the next 3 hours, so hopefully you will take us along for the ride and be entertained along the way. Like I said, everybody's attendance has been taken. I believe everybody's here. So what's up, fellas? What's going on?
What's up?
What'd it do?
Putting these sports takes in their ear hole. I don't know. I've always wanted to say that, and I never got to say that. That was
amongst other things.
That was the one, huh?
Amongst other things.
That we put in their ear hole?
No, yeah, besides sports. I mean, we run the gamut a little bit.
We do. We speaking of, let's just get this right out of the way, right off the bat. Nicholas, I saw you with a gun.
What?
I saw a picture of Nicholas. Our Nicholas, okay. Our baby bird, mm-hmm. Holding a gun. Where did you get a gun, sir?
Not my gun, sir.
Okay.
It's a friend of mine.
Someone tagged me on Instagram. I wasn't on the gram today. I was busy doing important stuff. And someone tagged me and said, uh-oh, Barry, you've pissed Nick off. And it was a picture of Nicholas holding a gun. What kind of gun was it?
An M4.
Okay.
I believe it's a 223.
Have you shot it?
I have not. We're going this weekend.
Okay. We need to talk about your trigger safety.
Yeah, I saw that. So that wasn't the proper way to hold that gun.
No. Never put your finger on the trigger of a gun unless you're going to
pull it. But was it like on the trigger or was it?
It is. It's on the trigger.
Is it?
It's on the trigger. It's not. You're supposed to just like point it straight out. You always point it straight out unless you're ready to shoot. Then you put your finger on the trigger. No, I'm not an expert by any means. Trust me.
But of the three of us, you would shoot
probably
a gun.
Be the one. Right? Yeah,
I actually own guns. In fact, this past weekend, I just cleaned all my guns. So, like my once a year, which is horrible. You should do it once a month, but whatever. Don't judge me. But I do know that. You don't put your finger on the trigger unless you're going. And I only tell you that because all of the gun dorks that see that are going to have an aneurysm when they see it.
Really?
Oh, my God. Yes.
Yeah.
They'd be like, oh, what are you doing? No. You're going to shoot somebody and yourself and other people, and they're going to freak out. That's just what they do.
Now you're so far the one person that has mentioned the guns. Everybody's been like, well, you're officially on the watch list. I'm like, bro. With the last name like Sciarra, how do you know if I'm not already on the watch list?
See, I'm looking out for your safety, and they're over here being racist.
Yeah.
Putting you on the watch list.
All the white guys just came out.
So is it a modern typical gun?
Tell Granado to stay off Instagram.
It's an M4. All I know, it's an M4. That's a 223. And
what does all that mean?
A 223 is caliber. Yeah.
Okay.
That's the only, I've shot a Beretta, a shotgun, and a rifle in my life. And that's
there's
it.
There's your son right
there. Well, I was thinking it was a handgun. That's a serious soldier-like piece of machinery.
You see his finger right there?
Yeah.
Resting on the trigger?
It's not resting. Is it?
Joel, what is his finger doing, Joel? There? How would you...
Is it resting on the trigger, honestly?
Give him a second. In your own words, Joel, how would you describe what his finger's doing on the trigger?
It's sitting there. I don't know. I don't know if it's actually making contact with the trigger, but it's close enough to be ready to go.
It's sitting there.
I mean, that's the best I can describe it.
It's taking a break. I wouldn't say resting. I would say taking a break.
All right, I gotta but you delete
do look,
that one.
No, you do
and
look.
And then repost another one is what I need to do.
You may be getting some contact from the authorities, or you. Yeah,
nah,
I mean,
you've already got 14 likes. You can't get rid of it now. That's just you're wasting likes at this point. You gotta just. You want me to Photoshop it?
Yeah, can you Photoshop my finger?
Yeah, to make it go in point, like just stretch pointed out over and across.
Well, see, his other finger's holding the barrel, so I would just take that finger, cut it, circle it, turn it around, and point it that way, and then it would look like he's actually properly holding the gun. But I wish I would have seen this before. I could have helped you out. But so are you going to go shoot it? Are you going to go shooting?
Yeah, either Friday or Saturday. I don't know.
Nice. Yeah.
So it's yours?
No, it's not mine. I've never owned a gun in my life.
Okay. Have you ever shot a gun?
Yeah, a rifle, which I don't know what kind, okay. A Beretta, and a shotgun. I don't know what kind.
So a handgun, a pistol?
And a rifle, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Cool. Joel, you've shot guns before.
I have never shot a gun in my life.
Really?
Yep.
Oh, that's right. I think we talked about this. Yeah. We all need to go shoot
one
day.
Yeah, we were gonna. And I'm not against that. But yeah, I've never have in my life.
Yeah.
So
it's fun. It can be nerve-wracking if you're not around guns.
A lot of people say
guns.
It's addicting.
It's addicting, but like even I still get nervous. Because you know why I get nervous when I go to the range? Is I don't trust the people around me. Like my instincts, but my fear kicks in that all these other people, I know what I'm going to do. I know I'm going to point it in the right direction, and I'm going to pew, pew, pew. And then the guy says, stop, guns down, and I'm going to empty the clip and clear the chamber and rest. But I don't trust everybody else around me. They're idiots.
Now, have you seen, and this was recent in Houston, and these two guys ended up getting banned from the driving range
right over
here.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
But yeah, they were posing for pictures and like pointing the gun at people. And just...
So one guy is, there's two guys in the same stall shooting, right? And there's one guy holding the handgun, and he puts it to his buddy's head.
Yes.
Oh,
and
no.
Goes to take a selfie.
No,
like, he literally points the gun to his temple, and the instructor's in there and just slams the dude forward, takes the gun down. They got I'm like, yeah. You dumbass. That's the kind of stuff I worry about.
No, well, see, my buddy showed
God
me the gun.
Your phone goes off. Oh, whoa. Hey.
My buddy showed me the gun, and I immediately I thought it was the coolest thing ever.
Yeah.
So I told him, let's go in the house. Show me exactly how to, like,
let's
I don't
go in the house. Were you worried about being outside?
I didn't want to hold that gun outside. I was at my neighbor.
You know there's open carry now, and you're allowed
well,
to, and even if you don't have
I felt safer doing it in my house, to be honest with you.
You worried the FBI was looking?
No, anybody was looking. I don't think anybody would want someone carrying a big gun.
You got a bunch of nosy white neighbors? Be like, I knew it! I knew it! Martha, call the law! I told you them Shenanigans over there, I told you, look at the guns they got. Look at those guns. I'm calling IAH right now. I'm putting them on high alert. Y'all be ready at George Bush. He got a gun.
Why do you sound like Mama's Family?
I don't know.
Lawrence is Nick's neighbor.
I figured that's what his neighbor that would do that would sound like. I don't know.
I don't think my neighbors sound like that.
No?
But yeah.
How do your neighbors sound?
I don't know. I just don't think they sound like that.
Come on,
like,
do one.
Nope. Not going to do that.
Oh.
But yeah, I absolutely fell. I thought it was the coolest thing.
This is cool.
It is. I was like, man, we got to check this out.
It's a dope ass gun. You're gonna get
but
one.
But I was nervous. No, no.
You wouldn't own a
How
gun.
How expensive would that gun be?
He said it was a grand.
I was gonna say. I was gonna say about $1,200.
He said $1,200, but you can get it for a grand. Okay. What he said.
So man. You wouldn't. Neither of you would buy and own a gun. For
I wouldn't
protection?
Drop. I wouldn't drop $1,000 on a gun like that, man.
I hit up Mr. Pope because he's supposed to be able to help me out here.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the gun I want. I want the Ruger SR 1911. It's a nice little carry weapon. I wanted it in a 9mm. And this, see, look, Nick, you can see it from where you're at. That's not a bad gun.
Looks like a cool gun to me. Yeah, I mean, I don't.
Just Google SR 1911.
That's the Houston version with the 713 on one side, the 218 on the other.
This is to replace my Beretta that got stolen out of my truck. So I'm down to one pistol that I keep at the house for when I go travel. Nora has, because I didn't want to get her, like, so the pistol I have. You can just, all she has to do is point and shoot. She doesn't have to, you know, rack the slide. She doesn't have to do anything. I just got it so that she could point and shoot, take care of business, and be done with it. But I wanted something a little different to carry, and I've always wanted a 1911. I was so pissed that my gun got stolen.
Because you had listeners trying to help you out for a while.
Originally, yeah, Aaron Pope was one of them. He was going to try to help me out, but then I couldn't decide on what I wanted. And so I think this is what I'm settling on, but I would love an M4. I would like an AR-15.
It looks so cool.
Yeah.
It looks so cool.
I'm with you. I don't want to spend $1,200. Like this gun I could get for $650 to $700 for that handgun. And that's about as much as I want to spend on any gun.
That's about your threshold if you're going to spend
that's a
money.
Good, that's a pretty good price.
On a gun.
I mean, I have an XDS that I spent like $400 on, and then I have like a Mossberg 500 shotgun. My Beretta was like $400. So, I mean,
what if you went to like the sporting goods store?
It's no different. It's no different.
Same price?
Yeah, I mean, you can go even at the gun show. They're not. There's really not that much savings when you go to the gun shows either.
Especially what they charge you for parking.
Dude, is it expensive?
Oh my God! Between, you know, when they have the GRB,
it's at least $10. Really? At the very
20,
minimum.
Like, yeah. $20 for parking, and then the admission to get in. I mean, like that. Just for what? To walk around and look at a lot of guns.
I wonder what other ESPN affiliates would say if they were listening to us talk. Oh, the Texas affiliate, you know, talking about guns in the first segment. Right. You know what I mean?
Up next, we're going to talk horses. Yeah. we've talked line dancing on the show. I mean, we are your true rednecks ESPN station.
Coming up, the ice fishermen will be out this weekend. They're cutting a hole now. It's going to be like they're going to be biting. Barry's doing camity on the lake. It's going to be fun.
I should go ice fishing.
Don't you know? You betcha. Oh, you, but you ain't going to have the, let me just tell you, layers and what you're bringing ain't going to be good enough.
I couldn't. I don't even like regular ass fishing. I don't want to go ice fishing.
Ice fishing is just insane to me.
Yeah. No. I'm good.
And the fear of like, like the guys up there, they take a snowmobile out on the lake to get to the hole, to cut the hole. But then they have like this whole log cabin built around the hole they're fishing in. To me, isn't that warming the ice if it's warm inside so that the whole thing can just go under?
See, I'm with you. I would be scared that I would fall in.
Yeah.
I would just be absolutely mortified.
And here's the other thing. I said snowmobiles. Water. Then there's the guys that take their trucks out there.
On the ice?
On the ice.
Those guys are idiots.
Yep. I will pass on that every single time.
I'm good.
All right, hopefully you're going to be in for the ride with us. That means, hey, you can join us if you got something on your mind you want to get off your chest. HR&P listener line 713-780-3776 where you can text. You can call, or you can hit us up on Twitter, where it's at Barry is funny, at Pac-Man Joel with a K, at the producer Nick. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is the usual suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, just getting started on the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5. Barry, Nick, and Joel in studio. Tomorrow, Barry will be up in the great white north of Minnesota doing a little comedy and trying to stay warm. So Cody Stutes comes out of the bullpen once again.
Oh, is he going
to
do it?
To fill in. Yeah, so he'll be here. We're still going to have a couple surprises for you, including a nice little deal for our FEI Friday Funny Comedian of the Week. So there's some good stuff to be had there, so stay tuned for all of that tomorrow on the show. I do want to say, Nick, the good thing is that you could see both of your arms in that picture. I don't know if you guys saw this or not, but there was a dude that got caught where he wanted to look all hard and tough on a Facebook page. Or it was Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter, one of the three, right? But he's taking a picture, and his buddy basically has a sleeve of tats. And so he had his buddy with a sleeve of tats holding a gun stand behind him and then put his arm in front of him.
See, that's just...
So that it looked like he was looking hard and tough with tatted a full tatted arm. And someone on the side took the picture and posted that and went... Busted. No, that's not going to
What an idiot.
Yeah.
I mean, all that for... When I saw the gun, I just absolutely fell in love with it. I thought it was so cool. I thought it was so cool. Like, I was like... I almost felt like I was playing a brand new video game.
Really? Yeah. Oh, see, that's scary.
Why?
You run around...
Nah, I wouldn't do that, though. But I will say, though, that I can see why it gets addicting, too. Because if you're at a range where you're, you know, like at a place where you're supposed to be shooting it, obviously.
Yeah.
I can see how that'd be an expensive hobby, but I would totally go back.
Yeah, Sean said, Barry, I'm with you. I'm right there with you about the gun range. I kept getting hit with casings one day. I stepped away from the bench and watched the guy next to me. He kept jamming and was facing the barrel towards me to clear it. That's just like the worst. If you ever get a jam at a gun range, you point it downrange to clear it. You never, like if I'm facing forward, you don't turn to the right to clear it, turn to the left, or turn behind you. You face it downrange to clear the jam, because if something happens and it goes off, they're going to shoot somebody. This is why I worry about going to those places, man. People, it's not me, it's not the guns, just people are dumbasses. They don't know gun safety.
That's why the guys, I don't know, who are they, like, what are they called, but, like, that walk around and kind of monitor everybody that's shooting.
Yeah.
That's why they're kind of...
They're like a range officer or something like that.
Right, but they have to kind of be mean.
Oh, they are. They're very mean, and they ain't messing around.
Yeah.
And, yeah, they're the only – they're like the only sane people on the range most of the time. So, yeah, that's scary, dude.
I can't find this picture. I was trying to find it, but it was just the guy got outed, and it was like, man, don't ever do something that stupid.
Funny.
What, just to get a date or try and impress chicks? I mean, why would you do that? Because the people that you're putting it on social media, most people are your friends and know you.
They know you don't have a sleeve.
And know every day, yeah.
Right. Somebody said, I've never heard it described like this, but someone said, keep your booger hook off the bang stick until you're ready to bring the hate.
It's called a booger hook?
Keep your booger hook off the bang stick.
No booger hooking.
Until you're ready to bring
the
hate.
I'll never booger hook again.
So it's no longer the itchy trigger finger. It's the itchy booger hook.
Yeah. And then Matt and Beaumont said, damn, Nick's shirt's looking a little snug on his Instagram.
People don't.
I really didn't even look at that, honestly.
Way to go, Matt and Beaumont, you hater.
People don't let up for an instant, man. All right, I'm going to do this now because I want to have a good upbeat show. But, you know, as I do on Thursdays, I came in to do my video. And the guys were just like head down. And I'm like, what's up? And they're like, we just got some bad news. And I'm like, what's going on? And you, Barry, you may have actually, both you guys may have kind of crossed his path. But Mike Gabaldon is his last name, but we all knew him as Mike G or Mikey G. But Mike was a guy that produced our videos for Sports Map and just the greatest dude. I mean, he came from NFL Network, ironically, to be closer to his family because I guess his dad had been going through some stuff and gave up a great job with NFL Network and came in and worked here 2 days a week. And whenever you were in the room with him, he was willing to help. He was smiling. He was a great dude. And the guys just said, Mike's dead.
Damn.
And I'm like, I'm sorry? And they said, yeah, right before the holidays. They were wondering because they haven't been able to get in touch with him. And so they started looking around, and I guess one of our salespeople actually knows someone who knows him like a good friend and said that his roommates found him a non-responsive right before the new year, and they're going to have to find out what happened, but only 37.
Wow, that's young.
Yeah, so, he was there when we shot our TV commercial.
That's right.
Yeah, I remember that.
Super nice guy.
Yeah.
Super nice guy. Really, really good at his job. So I'm sorry to hear that. I didn't know that until that Joel tweeted it out about, I don't know, an hour or two hours
not
ago, something
that.
Like that.
Yeah. So I put his family's doing a GoFundMe, and it's not to raise money. It's just kind of in remembrance of him. I think they're trying to raise money for Habitat and Humanity and, you know, in his name. But prayers to the family, man, because that was, his family here is pretty crushed by it.
So. Yeah. Rest in peace, man.
Yeah, I wanted to get that out there. So, with that being said, did you watch a game last night?
I watched bits and pieces of it, to be honest with you. I had a lot of stuff I had to get done before I left town, and so I really wasn't focused on the game. I managed to see James Harden get plunked in the face.
Boy, that's the story.
With a pass from the Greek Freak, which the best part wasn't even that he got hit in the face. It's that it got hit in the face so hard that it rebounded back to him like it was a pass off of a wall.
Yeah.
Like, it came back to him and he repossessed the ball.
The great.
That was the best part.
He threw that ball.
Man.
It was
hot. Was his face jacked up afterwards,
no,
Nick?
No.
Really?
It just hurt. He just said it hurt.
Damn. Yeah.
But here's the thing. Ironically, on the Milwaukee broadcast, Steve Novak, the ex-Rocket, was doing color commentary last night, and without missing a beat, he goes, wow, great play by Coach Bud there. Got Ilyasova open for the wide-open three, and is like, yeah, great play off of Harden's face. That was like, everyone was talking about that when you had everything in that game. I mean, it was a back-and-forth game. You had two MVP candidates, both putting up monster numbers, but that was the story. Charlie went off for like three segments. He related that to the and Nick, you can relate to this because we talked about it on our show we used to have on the network with Mario Elie, that Danny Ainge,
I remember that play to Mario Elie,
the ball off of the side of Mario Elie's head with a 15-point deficit and 5 seconds on the clock, and then tried to look like, oh, it wasn't intentional. And Mario was like, he still to this day is salty about that because
you could tell when we asked him about it.
Yeah.
Now it was not intentional by the Greek Freak, right?
He said as much. He apologized. That was genuinely an accident.
Okay. Yeah. And he's a really good dude, too, so I believe him at his word. Danny Ainge, I wouldn't believe as far as you could throw
it. And I think James Harden believed the Greek Freak as well. He was just like, man, that hurt. He's like, I don't want your apology, just please don't throw the ball at it. But he just kind of had fun with it. He knew it wasn't intentional by Giannis. But
I tweeted the low angle, It was Nolan Ryan-esque. I mean, you think about how long his wingspan is, too, and how big his hand is. Because if you saw before the game, and people were tweeting it out, there were some people that came from, like, thousands and thousands of miles to see him, and all they wanted to do was get a picture of their hand up close to his.
That's weird.
I think they were, like, from Pakistan or something like that, and they had the sign that said, I came all the way. And he signed the sign. He put his hand up. So you know not only does he have the wingspan to bring it, but he's got a hook and a hand. What is it called? A booger what?
A booger hook.
A booger hook. A bunch of booger hooks long enough to like hold that thing like a baseball. And he fired a shot.
There's really people coming from Pakistan to take a picture with his hand?
Yeah, they was all over Twitter. I can show that one to you.
And they're here in Houston?
Yeah, they came.
I hope they're listening because you guys are idiots. You are dumb. Why would you travel all the way just to take a picture with his hand?
Dude, they're a big fan of the Greek Freak.
Go home. That is stupid. That's weird. Why? That's just weird. Like, I get it if you're a fan of the guy. Like, I want to get a picture with him. I want him to sign my poster or a basket. But I want to take a picture with his hand. That's weird. That's really weird. I don't know. That's creepy. Sorry. I didn't mean to get off track, but that's just
so here's,
weird.
Here's the actual video of the people that came and got their it says, I traveled 2,157 miles from Pakistan to see the Greek Freak. And then all they wanted to do was get a picture with hand to hand. And he did that during warm-ups.
So they didn't say that. You're just because that's the Bucks, assumption that
one of the tweets came from the Bucks who actually explained it.
And that said he really that, wanted that, a picture
that
with
was
his
the
hand.
Whole thing. And even on Sport, I think they have it on SportsCenter where they said that was their
2,000
whole goal.
Miles.
Yeah.
You came 2,000 miles to take a picture with his hand. Now he did get his poster signed, so okay, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's just weird. I don't know.
Okay.
I'm not doing that.
Nick, you were there at the game, right?
I was.
Was it a different feel to it, or was it living up to the hype, or was it just another game?
Nah, there was a different feel. I felt like there was more people in the crowd. I think Houston fans showed up. I think there were some fans of the Greek Freak. I mean, I think you're starting to see he's not no LeBron or Kevin Durant or Harden in terms of his stardom yet, but he's growing that gravitational pull because people want to see him play, and he's built like a damn transformer. When you talk about like. And dudes on Twitter, please don't get weird about this. Like Russell Westbrook, his body frame, Greek Freak. Those guys are just built differently. They're just built like not like normal humans.
You tweeted out before the game you were close to him when he was working out and how cut he was. And then I heard a stat this morning. Since he came into the league, he's put on 57 pounds of muscle. So that's actually transforming your body a little bit.
No, the guy looks absolutely ripped. Absolutely ripped.
Yeah.
Go You're ahead, Barry.
A field day over
Before
here.
You get to your sponsorship, Joel.
Yes.
I didn't say anything.
Barry needs to
you didn't
let
have
something
to.
Out.
You're red in the face and laughing like crazy.
I didn't laugh. I muted my mic. You never heard me laugh. Well, nobody heard me laugh until you guys mentioned it.
Because we can see it.
Your face was red.
Yeah, it still is.
Would you say, was he hot? You're like, he's ripped.
This think if you show him the picture with the gun?
His muscles are
yeah, this
sweaty.
Yeah, a-hole on Twitter.
Muscles are so ripped and sweaty.
Where's this guy on Twitter? I gotta find him.
He's all. Did you look at him like that chick looked at LaMarcus Aldridge?
Yeah, I tweeted that. That
somewhere there's
funny.
A video of Nick taking a picture of the Greek Freak like that chick did LaMarcus
Someone
Aldridge.
Someone called me thirsty
and your man doesn't even know. All right, I'm sorry. I got all out of my system.
You done?
I'm good.
Yeah, you finished?
I mean, for this segment.
It's not happening. This is not going to continue.
Who are you
was
looking
he sweaty?
To find?
We're going
to
put
he
it
sweaty?
Into this like long care.
Was
huh?
he sweaty when you thought he was hot?
Who are you was looking he? To find that you said you had to find? Did someone say something?
On Twitter. I think it's at the carcass is what it is.
Did he have a shirt on?
Yeah, he had a shirt on.
Oh, you sound
Didn't
disappointed.
Didn't you see my story on Instagram?
No, I don't really look at the stories on Instagram. You sound disappointed, though.
No.
Okay.
Look, wow. I was impressed. I will say that.
He's an athlete. Most athletes are going to be muscular.
He's built differently. I'm telling you, he's built differently.
Yeah.
You know what else is built differently? PXG golf clubs. PXG golf clubs are the newest golf clubs on the market, and they are taking the market by storm. Everyone's talking about PXG golf clubs because if you're a golfer, I mean, ideally you want to have lower scores and have more fun hitting the ball better when you're on the golf course, and PXG has the answer for you. They've engineered clubs that have a higher launch angle that'll make you hit it farther, provide more forgiveness and accuracy than any other club you've ever put in your bag. The reviews say the exact same thing. They say they're absolutely remarkable and the best clubs out there. And tour pros are describing them as undeniably the best and the real deal. PXG customers are calling them insanely good and swear to you that they'll live up to the hype. And on top of that, they've won on every major professional tour around the globe and even a college national championship. So simply, what are you waiting for? If you want to step up your game, enjoy golf more than ever, and lower your scores, you need to schedule your fitting at the Club of Carlton Woods in the Woodlands right here in Houston, Texas. If you go out there and get fitted for these clubs, you will find out what everybody already knows, and that is PXG are the golf clubs to play. So all you got to do is call 844-PLAY-PXG, 844-PLAY-PXG, or visit PXG.com to book your custom fitting at Carlton Woods in the Woodlands, because PXG, nobody makes golf clubs the way they do, period.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Second half hour of the show, continuing to roll on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Yeah, Nick, I see that you put a funny little gif out there that was out there about Giannis hitting Harden in the pie hole. And then I see that the guy you referred to on Twitter retweeted your...
Yeah, he quote-tweeted it.
Yeah, he quote-tweeted it.
The warm-up video that I had of Giannis.
It's getting to be a thing, too. Like, Westbrook, Harden, now I see Giannis doing it. Even the guy warming up next to Giannis. Like, they want the shorts these days to start fitting like Stockton used to wear them.
Oh, are they moving back to the
yeah.
short shorts?
Every day, and you don't want to go to practice, Nick, but you see them enough when they're in pre-pre, that Harden will literally roll them up. He'll roll them up to, yep. like, boxer length.
It's strictly that the Fab Five, obviously, were the ones who kind of started all that, and it's obviously not ideal for basketball players. It's the same idea for, like, MMA fighters when they had, like, the longer shorts. It didn't make sense. That's why you see a lot of them with, like, the slit on the side, or they go with the tight version of the MMA boxing shorts. So it doesn't make sense for you to have long and baggy shorts when you're an athlete. You're not as mobile, you're not as quick. It's just distracting.
Also, don't sleep on the fact that it's probably a fashion thing too. These guys are really into fashion, and fashion is moving towards more fitted, whether it be tighter fit, but shorter fit. So
I would agree with that. I would argue that fashion has probably allowed them to do that more.
Yeah.
Because the whole tighter fit, slim fit,
modern
fit.
And the thing is, too,
fit.
They want to be trendsetters. Just the way they walk into the arena and try and push the envelope with the outfits they're wearing, this is probably another thing like that, where they want to go, hey, you know, we're going to be the guys that brought it back to the Stockton shorts, or maybe, you know, a different cut but shorter shorts. Because last year, because Harden's been doing this for a couple years now, but it really started coming into effect when you noticed it was making an impact. Last year in college, when guys were having their uniform shorts, Michigan's guys in the tournament had all their shorts back to that Stockton length. And I was like, that's an awful look, but I kind of know why they're doing it. Because, I mean, you go back to the Fab Five, the reason why everybody was wearing black socks with their basketball shoes and the baggy shorts and all that was when the Fab Five all came out and broke that out. And Nike profits went through the roof that year.
Yeah, they were. It's not surprising, but it's almost like it took long enough to get away from that trend. Because I want to say that was what, 92, 90?
It was a 91? Long time ago.
It was in the early 90s, late 80s, the Fab Five had to have been. I want to say 92, 91.
Well, and then the NBA got into the no fun zone. So after that, they were like, well, that's not going to happen in our league when they come to the NBA. And then literally the equipment guys would have to have them try the shorts on and then measure. And you only got a certain distance from the top. They couldn't be touching the kneecap, and they had to be a certain distance away from your actual knee to be allowed on the court, or you'd risk fine.
Yeah, 91 was the Fab Five.
And that was a bit excessive. Like, equipment guys are out there, and the NBA guys are sending them letters going, last game, James Harden's shorts did not, they were too close to the knee.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, so that was when they overthought those things a little bit. But yeah, the short shorts may be coming back, which may be trouble in hell for all of us.
Why?
It's not a good look for me, I can tell you that.
Oh, I got sexy legs.
Regardless of whether you do or not, it's not a run. I mean, you do the run, Forrest, run moments, right? When you're running, don't you wear those short shorts?
I have some. Uh-huh. I do.
I
have
remember
some,
you mentioning that.
Yeah, I have some with the built-in underwear that you run in.
I can't do that.
The short shorts, like I'm not talking, you know, Stockton. I'm talking like.
Do you take advantage of that? You wear really nothing short. Underneath. You just wear the shorts with the built-in.
Yeah. Just get out there and get it. Everything's bouncing around.
Yeah, it's not a good feeling.
It's, no, it's free. It's free for you. You feel free.
You feel like you're a streaker? Like you're just running around with your junk in the wind?
I mean, like, I would only wear them if I was really in shape. Like, I'd have to be at or below 170 to be out there running in those things. So that's not going to happen for quite a while because I'm nowhere near that. But no, you know, just get out there and run. You feel good. Take either with a tank top or no shirt. Just getting it.
Hmm. Okay.
Yeah, feeling sexy.
That's not me. Nick, you going to give that a shot?
Probably not. I mean, I haven't really been playing basketball or been in shape or been proactive in a while. So when I really am consistent about working out or playing basketball, that's when I start looking for things like that. Like, you know, athlete type of gear that's going to help me work out. But I haven't worked out really in a while. So
these dudes that run the marathons and stuff, it's like a diaper. I mean,
they're tiny.
Yeah, there ain't nothing to it.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, we got a call to get to here. Mark wants to get in here on short shorts, ironically. Mark, what's up?
Hey, what's up, Joel? What's up, Barry? What's up, Nick?
What up, man?
What's up, man?
What's up?
Hey, speaking of the short shorts, I don't know if y'all saw the little video on Twitter or social media from the girl and the Pistons and Spurs game looking at LaMarcus Aldridge, you know, and then her facial expression. If you haven't, I'll tweet it out to y'all, but... Yeah, if they go with the short shorts, you might have a little bit more of those girls looking around.
Yeah, Barry mentioned it.
No doubt, Mark.
Last segment?
Appreciate the call. Yeah, last segment.
Yeah, if you haven't seen it, she's sitting courtside with her dude, and LaMarcus Aldridge comes in front of them to inbound the ball, and she just gets a mesmerized look on her face and pulls the phone up like, got to get a picture of that, and it's priceless.
Man, I'd be so embarrassed if my wife did that. That would be, ugh. That'd be pretty bad. I don't know. I feel bad for that dude, but...
I kind of do, too.
These hoes ain't loyal.
Okay, if there's one thing we figured out, we got that covered.
Definitely not. So, I mean, to the game itself, anything... I didn't watch it all. I know that they didn't have a great defensive game.
Well, I think Nick can attest to this, but one thing that I noticed is something that we've talked about this. Milwaukee tried to do what a lot of teams are going to do. And when Bledsoe was in the game particularly, he was trying to take away the left hand and overplay the left hand so that Harden couldn't shoot the step back three with his left hand. And their whole goal was to try and force him to beat them with twos, not threes. And then George Hill came in the game and he was 4 for 4 and he just absolutely lit him up. But whenever Bledsoe in particular was in the game, that was their strategy. Give him a lane to the rim and force him to come inside the three-point line and take away his left hand so he couldn't shoot the step-back three.
Yeah, they were forcing him right pretty much the whole time. Bledsoe was really big on that. The only thing is when he got too close to him, because he was on his left side, when James Harden would lift his left hand up to shoot the three, if there was any type of contact, boom, you got a whistle, and Harden got three free throws. That was the only, I guess, bad part about that. But sometimes it worked because it would force him to penetrate to the basket, going to the right. He'd have to kick it out, and it wasn't always the best shot. So people are going to have to. Teams are going to scheme against James Harden. They're going to choose a game plan, and they're going to stick with it, even if it doesn't necessarily work every single time. Because no one thing is absolutely going to work against a superstar like James Harden. So they kind of have to have some consistency, but.
But we knew this was coming.
Right.
Because especially when you get to a playoffs and it's a 7-game series. But when you're looking at everything that's going on right now and you look at the numbers, he's killing everybody and he's the only guy you got to stop. So they're trying to figure out ways to either get it out of his hands or stop him from scoring 40.
Yeah, he puts up a 40 spot. The Rockets lose. Giannis had 25, but the 21 rebounds, I think, was huge.
At the half, it was 11. Giannis had 11 points, 14 rebounds, and Harden had 22 points. And I don't remember who it was on the Rockets broadcast. They were like, well, Harden obviously wins that in the first half. I was like, are you just discounting the 14 rebounds that Antetokounmpo pulled down? Because those matter. Those count. Harden had 22. He had 4 rebounds. Don't get me wrong. But 11 and 14 is pretty damn good, too.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. You're talking 22 and 28 over a game. Hello?
But a double-double in the first half. You get spoiled by the numbers that James puts up, but those are mammoth numbers.
Yeah, you can't just discount rebounds because the guy on your team is a prolific scorer. I mean, all that other stuff that Antetokounmpo does matters, and it's important.
Plus, he was really smart about getting the matchup that he wanted. Like, when he would set a pick and try to force Rockets to switch, he would almost make them switch. And there's been times where a few times where they made him switch to the point where Austin Rivers had to guard Giannis, and it was just a bad matchup.
Yeah, that's not good.
And you could just see Austin Rivers slowly get... He was just getting pummeled. He was going, you know, he was just going backwards. You're not going to stop Giannis if you're Austin Rivers.
Are we sold that they're the real deal, Milwaukee? Are they in the same ballpark when we come playoff time with Toronto and Boston? Because I'll tell you this, he's like Harden. He's unstoppable with his reach and how strong he's got and everything like that. But I think they've got more weapons than they've had ever before in terms of a complimentary piece. But I still think they might be a little light on shooters because in the playoffs, they're going to James is a lot quicker than Antetokounmpo. And you're going to see a lot of hard doubles come out at Antetokounmpo and say, we challenge anybody else to beat you.
Yeah. I mean, I would definitely put them a top three team in the East. I still think Toronto's a little bit better than them. Mm-hmm. I think that will eventually play out, but I still think they're a really good team in the East. I think they're a really good team overall in the NBA. I just still think Toronto is one team that's definitely better than them.
You've seen that having a guy, a dominant guy, and the Rockets are a perfect example of that. Having just one dominant guy, you can still win a lot of games in the NBA because right now that's what's happening. It's you know, James Harden and the supporting cast, but they're winning a lot of games. And I think you can do that with Antetokounmpo. But if they did get some depth, if the depth that they have is for real, I just don't know if you can go against some of the teams that go three deep with superstars in the East, or at least two deep.
And have shooters and guys coming off the bench,
depth,
too.
But they also have a couple of superstars and not just one.
Yeah, I'll throw this at you as we wrap up that segment on basketball. But Harden notched his 12th 40-point game of the year. That's twice as many as the nearest competitor, Anthony Davis. That's his career high for 40-point games in a season, so he'll obviously break that. And he's hit 5-plus threes in 11 straight games. No player has had a streak longer than 7 in NBA history.
Damn.
Dude is putting up MVP numbers. Now, a lot of the hype, too, was Giannis is going to get it because they want to see him get his first. You can't discount what James is doing.
No.
It's mammoth. So, all right, we're going to continue to roll on. If you want to join the show, chime in here. HRP Listener Line, 713-780-3776. Call, text, hit us on Twitter. Back with more. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey! Still in hour number one, 3 hour show, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Talked a little basketball. Talked about your Rockets taking a tough one on the chin. Still won, what, 12 of 15?
Not bad.
If I'm the numbers guy, but wasn't that what it was? 12 of 14 going into last night's game, I think?
Yes, that is correct.
So, football news still trickling in. Nick, there's hope. Now there are two coaches that have had head coaching experience. I have a shot to get it if both the Dolphins and the Bengals hire ex-NFL head coaches. Otherwise, you win.
Oh. You said it was four? Is that what your number was?
I said four. Barry said what, five?
I said six.
Six. Okay, 6-4, and you said 5%.
I'm out. And Nick said a leg and a half of an arm.
Yeah.
Like, so if you get 0.357% of a person.
If you got, with Mike McCarthy still...
he took his name out of the hat last night.
He's not...
He said he's going to sit out of coaching all of 2019. He let his family know when the Jets made their decision, which, if you missed it, former Dolphins head coach Adam Gase makes the number of former NFL head coaches getting gigs. Two, he gets the Jets job, which means Mike McCarthy said, that's the only one I was going to be in the running for. I'm out.
Damn it.
Oh, didn't Bruce say the same thing, and then he went to a different team?
Arian said, yeah, Cleveland was the only team he'd coach, and he just got named head coach of the Buccaneers. So...
Yeah, I feel like if the right offer is thrown at him, he might take the gig, right?
I think there's still guys, too, like Pagano has been interviewing all over the world. Jim Caldwell has been interviewing all over there. But you know, the wild card is the Bengals. They're so cheap, and they do things like so differently than any other team in the league. I just don't think they want a guy that's an ex-NFL guy, probably because they have to pay him.
That could be. That could be.
You know?
Yeah, you're right. They are a little cheap. It'll be... like I said yesterday, I'm a bit surprised that you're seeing some of these newer coaches, but I think it's going to be fun. It's going to be an interesting product again. Some of these guys, you kind of see the same things, and you might see some innovation on both sides of the ball. You might see some innovation on offense. You might see some innovation on defense, especially with Kingsbury getting a job. That's a wild card to me because you have no idea what he's going to do, but it could get really exciting really quick in that division. Where it's one of those things where when A&M kind of went to the SEC and Sumlin, he took a Big 12 offense to the SEC and everyone was going, what the hell is this? This isn't normal. And Johnny Manziel obviously helped that. But now you're starting to see, I mean, Saban and those guys, a lot of SEC teams kind of changed the way that they played offense. That might start to be the case even in the NFC West where he's going to be and he starts to open it up even more so than you're already seeing. So it could be fun. It could be a really good thing that we're not getting these retreads.
I think you're kind of right because I think that they're going to have to implore their own approach towards coaching football. There's probably new offenses that you might see. And I think what's funny that kind of goes to your point is, did you see some of the grades that, you know, of the hirings of all? You would get, like, Adam Gase. You would get an A, a B, a C, an F. Like, the grades for the hirings and firings in NFL for the head coaching positions have been all over the place. It's been everything from an A to an F. So no one really knows which one of these coaches are actually going to be doing something innovative or different or surprise you, kind of like how McVay has done with the Los Angeles Rams. But you're right. I think it's going to be interesting. I think that, but I really don't think NFL teams should just hop on a bunch of retreads just for the sake of their experience.
I agree with that, but I also don't think they should jump off the deep end the other way and just think that just any old guy that is known to be an innovator in offense is going to come in like we talked about Kingsbury yesterday. Just because he's known as an innovative offensive guy and he had 5 years of coaching in college, he doesn't mean that it's going to translate to the NFL with different rules and bigger players and grown men in the locker room and say, that's our guy. So I think that's something that everybody's got to kind of have a buyer beware on. And that's why, man, a lot of people were freaking out about the Jets, including, again, Damian Woody and those guys putting just videos out there just going crazy, like the wrong guy. Well, at least he's got NFL experience, and he's had some success with some less-than-stellar quarterbacks making him better, i.e., I mean, if you look at it, he got a couple of good years out of a guy that everybody likes to jump on the hate wagon with was Jay Cutler.
I tell you, it's going to be interesting too, the moves that get made after some of these head coaching gigs. Like you were talking about the grades, right, of the coaches. A lot of these guys that I thought would get jobs that are going to be retreads are going to go back to being coordinators.
Yep.
That's also going to make those teams that they go be a coordinator for better because they were really good at being a coordinator. And Joel had mentioned it yesterday and a couple of different times that you got guys like a Wade Phillips that's not a good head coach, but he's a damn good coordinator. Mm-hmm. Romeo Crennel's the same way. Some of these guys are going to be that, and it's going to make those teams that, like Todd Bowles going to the Jets, that's going to make the Jets better defensively.
Yep.
Just from him being there as a coordinator. It's also going to be interesting because a lot of these places have problems. And you already saw Bruce Arians come out and say that Jameis Winston is the focal point of this offense. I think he's shooting himself in the foot by doing that. I think by just coming out and immediately saying Jameis Winston is my guy, we're going to rally behind him and we're going to live or die with Jameis Winston. Do you really want to do that with a guy like that?
It's interesting because what that translates to me is I better also sign Ryan Fitzpatrick, because if it starts going wrong, I got to have a number two that's ready to be a number one like they did this last season, because you can go out and say that all you want. And yeah, you've got receivers, but one of them wants out already based on how things went last year with DeSean Jackson. And your running game is less than stellar. So if you say all that now, yeah, you can change your mind. But look at how many teams, when you change your mind, take a huge step back when your backup sucks.
Yeah.
So that's why Ryan Fitzpatrick probably should have a job in Tampa for another year, because he can say that now. But when he starts working with him, that's when he'll truly get an idea of, he may have all the tools, but like you said yesterday, if it's not between the ears and it's not mature and it's solid and it's going in the right direction, it doesn't matter how talented you are.
Yeah, I mean, he got benched and, you know, he was struggling, but he's got, like you said, he's got the skill set. That wouldn't be my concern. My concern is everything else.
Right.
And I would say, look, he's got as good a chance of any as being the starting quarterback for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers come next year.
Mm-hmm.
But I would definitely not just plant my flag in the ground on Jameis Winston with all the problems that he and that organization have had with each other. That'd be kind of scary.
Part of the reason why he probably got the job is because he agreed that, because Jameis has got 1 year left, and so it's a prove-it season, and they didn't want to walk away, and they knew how much money they'd be hammered with if they did, so they're going to try and make it work for at least one more year. But you're right, and the other thing is these guys that didn't get the head coaching jobs, because of your point, Barry, and the fact that the more guys that don't have head coaching experience that are getting these gigs are going to need them, they're going to get paid more too.
Yeah.
So they're going to get close to what they made maybe in their last job before we saw another bump in salaries for coaches. Pagano as a defensive coordinator. I've heard he's already going to be considered by the Jets. Jim Caldwell, if he doesn't get a gig, is going to be an offensive coordinator because he worked with Peyton Manning and he's got experience. And the guys that don't have experience, as we talked about with Kingsbury yesterday, have to have at least one guy that has experience just to kind of get the whole overall system and structure down from practice schedule to, you know, even I saw the quotes. The Broncos named officially had the press conference with Vic Fangio. And the first thing he said was, I know 30 seconds is not going to be leeway time because one guy's late and is 30 seconds late the first day. Then it's two the next and two the next. We're not doing that. That's not happening. And 30 seconds means you're late. That's what I'm talking about. Cliff Kingsbury's not going to be that guy to tell a grown-ass man. He's going to tell Larry Fitzgerald. Come on now. Not that Larry's going to miss, but.
By the way, I said Todd Bowles to the Jets. Obviously, coming from the Jets.
To the Bucks.
He said
yeah.
with the Bucks.
I was going to tell
misspoke.
You. But,
no, no. It's all good. I just had to clean that up.
Somebody did already
meant,
on Twitter.
I caught it myself because I was like, I think I said the Jets, but I meant he left the Jets. He's with the Bucks. My bad. So, you know.
He's also bringing up Byron Leftwich. And the only thing is I haven't seen what position, because Leftwich was the guy that took over offensive coordinator for the Cardinals. Byron, you can be the quarterback's coach. You can work with Jameis, try and work him out on the
other things. Backup quarterback coach.
Yeah, you've experienced the off-the-field things. You work with him on the off-the-field. Bruce Arians will call the play.
Man.
All right, one in the books, two to go. Still 2 hours of the big show. Don't go anywhere. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.